Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
My quarterback math was
Ken had the Jets game.
That's eight games for Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah,
Kevin Stefanski clearly believes in Dylan Gabriel. So if you're 1-7 in that stretch, that's enough to say, well, he might be an NFL quarterback, but we're 1-7, and then you get 5 games is enough to make a decision on Shador and Dylan Gabriel going forward.
Yeah, it is funny how we have still, even in watching Dylan Gabriel actually play a game, we have somebody. We'll talk about him later on in his thoughts there. But most people still haven't moved off the thought process that Dylan Gabriel, you have an end stamp there. You're gonna see a time. If it's 5 weeks, if it's 6 weeks, if it's 7 weeks. What I want to see happen is I want to see enough time for Shador to either prove himself that he can play or can't play, and you make a decision. And obviously, if he gets 5 games or 6 games, that's not enough time to prove that he can't play. But it certainly is enough time to be able to at least get a feel and a sense of it. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
So specific to the Flacco thing, I don't know. And again,
They moved quick,
and I get it. The opportunity to trade Flacco for anything is, I get it. I understand the inclination for an organization that is over the moon about value. In fairness, pick swapping a sixth rounder for a fifth rounder, I think the exact value is like pick 200 in the draft. The actual value you got is like a seventh rounder, which doesn't move me. However, I digress. That being said, the only thing I don't like about this is if you're not pot committed to go to Shador next, I don't think that value was enough that in case something happens, specific injury, because again, I don't think Dylan's getting benched. I think Dylan would have to be worse than Joe Flacco to get benched before those 8 weeks are up. I don't like the idea of, well, Shador's not ready to be the backup. He's not ready for the field. But we got this great offer for Joe Flacco, so I guess it's Bailey Zappe. Nah, I'd still feel more comfortable with Joe Flacco if Dylan gets hurt than Bailey freaking Zappe.
I just wonder if they think that, and maybe they already think this, but if Dylan gets injured, then it's just, we're up a creek anyway.
Yeah.
The season is shot, so let's just take it for what it is. I there was not a world where I thought that Joe Flacco would ever play again in a Browns uniform, so it doesn't bother me at all that he's gone, and really the math hasn't changed much. I still want to see it be Shador, and I want to see it after Dylan Gabriel. It's just at what point you move off of Dylan.
I had somebody, I'm not going to credit it because it's not like a reporter, but I had somebody try to pitch to me the Jets game as well, coming off the bye.
Okay.
And it just seemed a little bit of, I just didn't buy it. Basically there's an inside story about something with Dylan Gabriel, and it all has to do with like a marketing opportunity for Dylan Gabriel and his team pushing for, and I was like, I don't think Dylan Gabriel's camp right now knows how long of a leash he really has.
Wait,
I don't think anyone
I'm confused.
Does.
What's the marketing opportunity?
You get one toe in, you might as well jump in.
Yeah.
Mutual friend of ours said that they're working on with Dylan's camp to do like a signing or something. And they were told, hey, let's get this done in the next, we want to have this for the next 4 to 5 weeks. And so they surmised, well, that's because Dylan's camp doesn't think he'll have the job beyond 4 to 5 weeks.
Oh, that's fair from Dylan's camp. Is it bad of hit their camp that they're like, let's hurry this thing up because we don't know if we're going to have a job? But at least he's looking at it rationally. When's the value ever going to be higher for Dylan Gabriel? It's going to be in the next 4 to 5 weeks.
I mean, who was the guy that did the signing after he got traded? Wasn't it? Was it Joe?
Joe Flacco did it, yeah. And he was charging $150 an autograph, and lines were 2 hours long.
Now, because Dylan is a half foot shorter, I believe he's only charging $112.
He's a tiny little guy.
That was almost mean.
I think that Sonder was mean. I would never say that.
I did find it funny the amount of people that are like, just wait until Dylan gets in cold weather. The kid's from Hawaii. He's not going to be able to do it. Cold weather is going to be the death of Dylan Gabriel.
Yep, Tom Brady was from California. Complete scrub in the snow.
It is funny because some quarterbacks really do suck in cold weather. Tua obviously is really bad in cold weather. He got into that playoff game against Mahomes and didn't stand a chance. And it wasn't just because it was Tua against Mahomes.
It could have also been a playoff game and he's not built for the playoffs.
Well, so I mean, his record though, 45 degrees and under. I don't know why I know this off the top of my head. He's 0-7, 45 degrees and under. Like he just can't play in
cold
weather.
What about 32 degrees and under?
Also 0-7, I don't know, 0-0 something. There's no wins there. If it's 0-7 at 45 and under, it's 0-0 for the point is.
What's the point differential?
I was trying to really explain that to you when you were just being a smartass, and I should have stopped. Jared Goff, not a good cold weather quarterback. Like, there are quarterbacks that just suck in cold weather, but it's interesting that now the anti-Dylan crowd is moving towards that. Like, just wait. He'll get in cold weather, and he won't be able to hack it.
216-474-0092. So Joe Flacco now in Cincinnati. Don't worry, we got a fifth rounder for Joe and a sixth rounder. And then, of course, we don't quite know who the backup is officially yet, although the unofficial depth chart puts Shedeur Sanders as QB2 with no QB3 listed. Has the quarterback math changed for you? If you thought Dylan was going to get 8 games yesterday and Shedeur was going to get the final 5 games of the season, has the Flacco trade moved that needle at all? Let's go with Jacob in Olmsted Township. What's up, bud?
What's up? Thank you. Have me? This is basically a great trade for the Browns. Joe Flacco wasn't going to do anything for us. He threw a lot of interceptions, basically. Interceptions in, like, week 1 through 4, I believe. And then Dylan Gabriel, I believe he's going to be our rest of the season starter because how good he is. Like, if you saw him in the first game that we started him, he wasn't bad. He was not that bad. Like, a little missed throws there and there. But I believe he will be better as a starter than Shedeur. Because, let's say it, like, Shedeur is not that great. He's decent, but not that great.
Jacob, you don't know that.
Gabriel.
But you don't know. We have no evidence to go off of any of that. Like, that's the frustrating part about Shedeur. It's like, you can't look at his college tape and say he's not great. He was great in college. So, like, how do you surmise that he's not that great? You haven't seen him play football.
Preseason. Just look at the preseason.
He was awesome in one game, and then Dylan, the other game was, you know, it was what it was.
Jacob,
but like,
we got a boogie. We appreciate
it. I wanted on the record that Jacob takes his football thoughts off of preseason games.
You didn't like that, did you?
Well, I just wanted it on the record. Like, if your basis on this is preseason football, then I think you need to come up with a new basis.
I think there are a lot of people today saying Joe is bad here, Joe will be bad there, so I don't care about this trade. And I think a fair amount of those people, 2 weeks from now, if Joe Flacco looks good, the Bengals have, and I think Joe's actually, I think the report is Joe will start against, I think it's Green Bay this next coming week.
Oh, it's a Green Bay. Good luck.
So
it's a really good defense.
If
he's already seen, though, so like maybe that's an advantage for him.
We'll see about that. But if he wins on Sunday, there's people next Monday.
Actually, that even gives you more ammo there, right? Like you get to watch a game where we already saw what Stefanski could do with Joe Flacco, and now we'll get to see what Check's Notes Zach Taylor can do.
Out 3 days of practice.
Watch Zach Taylor outcoach Kevin Stefanski in this, and I would love to see the Stefanski supporters try to justify Stefanski's lot in NFL life.
What is
after
the
that,
appropriate
if that
response if you Zach Taylor outcoaches Kevin Stefanski?
You get to be mad about it. If Joe Flacco against a team that you just saw him play against 2 weeks ago, if Joe Flacco looks really good, and yes, Higgins and Chase are much better than Judy and whoever else you want to throw in is the Browns number two, but if he looks that much better, considerably better, it is a direct reflection on Stefanski, and I would imagine the fans here get to be just as angry as I'm going to be.
All right, Jim in West Park, has the quarterback math changed all that much for the rest of the season with Joe Flacco going to Cincinnati?
Oh, definitely. Because at this point, you're looking at probably Watson coming in with the last 3-4 games, if that's what their plan may or may not be. You could have the most Brownsiest thing happen where they're getting close to, you know, being the, you know, getting that number one pick in the draft. And Watson comes in and just goes lights out and just, you know, passes like he was a, you know, spring chicken again. So, I mean, this is the Browns. This is how they play. This is what they do. It's a wasted season yet again. And I don't know how people, you know, are still happy with this team. It just doesn't make any sense.
So I agree with you that it is likely a wasted season. But and this to me is where the devil is in the details. Not every wasted season is the same. And this season, to me, has always been about the purge. It's about the pain pill for the failed Deshaun experiment.
Yeah.
And putting Deshaun back out there, to me, it is just a master's class and not getting the point of why you failed. And while you've gone from looking like you had a legit Super Bowl window 3 years ago, and that's why you traded for Deshaun, so now you're in the middle of a pretty significant rebuild 3 years later.
I want to highlight what Jim said there for a second, though, because that is the most Browns thing I think I've ever heard. The idea that Deshaun, craters the team, stinks up the joints for three seasons to a point that we just can't recover from. At least it's been hard to recover from. And then they throw Deshaun out there for four games as we're in line for the number one overall pick to get a quarterback that emerges and Deshaun actually wins us four games in a row or something. That would be the most Browns thing ever.
The Lovie Smith spite trail. Danny, in Willoughby, we got about 35 seconds, buddy. What you got for us?
All right. I'll fill really quick here. This is not a Hugh Jackson team. They have talent, tight ends, Fannin, Njoku, Judkins, Mason Graham. Are you kidding me? He opens up a lot for Myles Garrett. This rookie linebacker is Clay Matthews.
So, but you see, okay, Danny, you say it's not a Hugh Jackson team. Have you looked at the numbers, 2025 per game stats versus 2017 per game stats?
We got a boogie, buddy. Go ahead.
14.6 in 2025, 14.6 in 2017. 27th in yards per game, and then in 2017, 32. All this stuff adds up. It's almost identical down to points per play, down to percentage on third down, touchdowns per game, yards per play. It's almost identical to what they did in 2017 offensively.
I almost feel we should call Todd Haley in and see if we can get Kevin Stefanski to talk down to him, and then it'll be... Then we'll know for sure.
Hugh Jackson's here, baby.
Poor Hugh. Not really. John Fanta, NBC Sports, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. To talk about the Joe Flacco trade, his thoughts on Dylan Gabriel. Might get a take on Cavs preseason basketball, right?
Well, might. If the
Probably
time
not.
Allots.
Yeah, I mean, listen. If we have him for if we have him for the rest of the show, we'll get into Cavs preseason basketball. But he joins us every single Tuesday in the 4 o'clock hour. Of course, Cleveland's own, but now with NBC Sports, he killed it. I mean, killed it on Sunday Night Football, and I actually texted him. He sent a great during the highlights as well. The great John Fanta joins us. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Oh, I could feel another step closer to owing Nick Wilson dinner on Sunday, right around 12:30. I went down to my knees in the living room and said, another loss, fellas. I thought I'm going to have to swallow my pride here. And Nick Wilson is going to walk away a winner.
You just hate. I mean, you hate to see it, but more than that, John, you love to see it.
I mean, John, I told you, burger bets with Nick don't work out for anybody.
If you make
a burger bet with Nick, I've never seen it work out for anybody but Nick. Yep.
Oh, man. Now I've learned my lesson. I have absolutely learned my lesson. By the way, great to be talking today with the one and only Mac Robinson, who I once called basketball, football, and baseball with in high school, and he did a stellar job as a St. Ignatius baseball manager back in the day. That guy had the gum... the cleats, everything ready to the ninth.
John, that's kind of insulting, though, if you did all those games with him and the thing you want to highlight is him being a great baseball manager. I mean, that's not great for his broadcasting career. I don't know.
No, he was a tremendous partner. He was a tremendous partner.
No one cleaned the unis better than Mac Robinson.
Nobody got the bubblegum in order like Mac.
That.
He got some Febreze on that. He put some
Boy,
of that.
Can that score that, keep
that,
a game?
That, the bleach blot thing. He got one of those too. The bleach sticks. Oh,
yeah, but
man.
You know the broadcasting. The thing he's trying to make his livelihood in.
Yeah,
but that was
he also
that was
did
whatever.
That too. He just, did that as well.
That just happened.
So John,
what time is Bailey Zappi stopping by the show today?
Don't do that, John. Don't you? Let's not turn this into a firefight. All right, no one wins in a firefight between Wilson and three-win Wilson and John Fanta.
Zippy Zappy.
The world shakes. The world shakes when that happens. I was just asking a question.
Well, I want to ask you a question, John, because we got a big Donnybrook not too long ago about the fates of Kevin Stefanski and really who the best manager in the city was between Stefanski and Vogt. And I wanted to know... I was just curious. I wanted to know where you stand on...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Stefanski today.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have pitched Cade Smith at the end of that blowout game. I would have saved him for the ensuing game. But Stephen Vogt could very well get
the playoff
manager of the year again. Yeah. Wouldn't have pitched him when I was up five runs. No. Overall, he had a overall, it's Stephen Vogt in the race with Kevin Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski, to me, the discourse on Stefanski is really strange. You know, for a guy that's won – four times in his last 22 games, and for the discourse to be that there's really not that much from some people that are very close to the team and that I respect. Like, I respect these people that are saying this. I want to make that clear. But you guys know who they are. Like, there are some people who are very, very close with this football organization who are saying that there's really not that much pressure yet and that they don't see it in terms of hot seat. How? How could you not see it? He lost in the game on Sunday.
Well, you can't see something if you just don't look at it.
Yeah, I mean, apparently, but these people are at practice every day and they cover the team every day. I don't understand. Like, the reality of it is, like, I think that Kevin has just, the act has gone stale, gentlemen. It's gotten stale and old and extremely predictable, and they're not able to trick anybody. You know, they were the better team on Sunday for a good portion of that game because they have an elite defense. This team with this defense should not have just one win. They should not have just one win. And the coach has done things that have been very hesitant, not aggressive at all. Like, remember early in his tenure? Early in his tenure, we were all debating, does he go for it too often? Is he too bold? Is he too aggressive? And, you know, the counter was like, well, I don't mind it, man. Like, he could be a trendsetter here. And in some ways, he actually was at first. I mean, it's how he won a couple of NFL Coach of the Year honors. Now it's like, who is this guy? Like, he's going against what he says that he does. And the inability to score 20 points in an NFL game, especially that game Sunday, that's the biggest loss that he's taken in terms of harm, in my opinion. We're a situation where he really harmed himself. I don't want to hear that he had a rookie quarterback. You got to play to win the game. Ask Jonathan Gannon how that worked on Sunday with the Cardinals, which I cannot believe that the Cardinals lost that game. But if you have the football and you have a chance to put a team away, you don't punt it back to them. I don't care how good your defense is. You guys all know the script in the NFL. The conservative, the hesitancy, you have nothing to freaking lose. And you didn't coach that way on Sunday. And that's just a dark spot. Flacco aside, all this stuff aside, we're going to get to in a second. That, to me, is a loss where you can lose your locker room.
I would agree with a lot of what you said. So on the heels of that, today, they trade Joe Flacco in a sixth-rounder to Cincinnati for a fifth-rounder. Again, division rival Cincinnati who's trying to save their season. How do you feel about that trade?
I mean, trying to save their season. That offensive line, I mean, my goodness. Put a life alert button on Joe when he takes snaps on Sunday. How what is the thinking there? Look, I got a lot of respect for Joe Flacco, but he's as immobile a quarterback as there is in the National Football League. And the Bengals' offensive line has been, if you gave them a grade, it would be an F. I don't understand the move by Cincinnati. Obviously, Joe Flacco playing any more in Cleveland was going to not be purposeful or impactful or meaningful. And, you know, I said that I would have started in week one, and I got – we could go, you know, hindsight's 2020. You know, I know, Nick, you had your own opinions on that situation, and we could talk all day about that. But, like, in the here and now, the fact that the Browns were actually able to trade him and get a fifth-round pick in the process and not give up their own pick because they got that sixth-rounder from, what, the Lions? Like, the fact that they were able to get a fifth-rounder is kind of crazy, in my opinion, because I don't know what Cincinnati's thinking. Like, if I'm trying to save my season, what was the subject matter that you're looking at that says that this guy with this offensive line is going to be the one to do it? So I'm all for the Browns going with their youth movement, even though I have my own opinions on that. And I kind of chuckled when you said, was Albert forgetting about Deshaun Watson? Because I think Albert – I don't think he was forgetting about him. I think Albert just knows what the reality is, and that's that Deshaun Watson is not going to be the Cleveland Browns quarterback beyond, you know, I mean, maybe he steps in this year because things are such a dumpster fire in at that position. But, like, you know what I think, guys?
What's that, John?
Did this organization have a real plan at quarterback this year? Because by many accounts now looking at it, it would appear that they did not. I'd love to hear it. We'll never hear it. But, like, what was the plan? Because what the reality is not NFL quality.
Yeah, I don't think they had much of a plan. I agree with that. It feels almost like they, again, this is the thing with Stefanski and Barry. It feels like they've been told they have a million years to figure it out, and they're treating it as such. Oh. Where I wouldn't, John, if I have Haslam as the owner, I would treat every year like you have to win and you have to try to keep your job. But they have no urgency attached to them.
And JP, You can't tell me, maybe you disagree with me on this, but, like, I can't help but last night sit down and watch the Jaguars.
Oh, yeah,
play
for sure. And it's a four-win team last year, John. Yeah.
Yeah, and see that product and think to myself, time, we are no longer in the era. Like, 4 and 5 year plans were old when Mike Holmgren was shown the door in Cleveland. That's years ago now. This idea that these people have an unlimited amount of time when the last 2 years have been a hamburger short of Hugh Jackson has been, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, what is going on? I think that's my biggest thing right now with this organization is it feels like a car that is in a Cleveland snowstorm in the driveway. And you're saying in the car, we are going to make it to dinner 15 minutes away, but there's literally a foot of snow on the ground, both in your driveway and on the street. And I'm sitting in the car saying, are you serious right now? Like, do you actually like, but they seem to believe it. How could you be so ignorant?
Well, it's been 6 years, feeling pretty good about themselves. John, I'm just curious when it comes to the Browns, what do you see is the goal with Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders the rest of the way?
Well, the goal is what the goal was to this season for those two players, which was, I want to find out if one of them can play the quarterback position at a high level going forward. Does that mean that they are locked in? No, you know, no alternatives, John. They have to be the starter in 2026. I'm not going to sit here and say that about a third and a fifth rounder. But, like, I do think the season's lost, all right? The season is lost. It's not going to happen for this football team. And it probably was never going to happen based on their outlook at the start of the season and now what the reality is. But I want to see progress. Like, I mean, here's the thing, guys. The goal is for Dillon Gabriel to get better every single week, and by season's end, you sit here and say, Dillon Gabriel could be a good quarterback in the NFL. Like, I'm not thinking about Shedeur Sanders, and I kind of chuckle when people say, like, Well, now they're a step away from Shedeur Sanders. Well, now they're a step away from Shedeur Sanders. Well, like, Dylan Gabriel showed some good things on Sunday, okay? I want to see if he can expand upon that. Now, the problem is, I don't know if he can with this coach and this scheme, because to me, this scheme's not setting anybody up for success right now. It's a big problem, big picture. But, like, the goal is for Dylan Gabriel to not get hurt and to continue to make progress. Like, the best case scenario for the Browns is that Gabriel shows he could be a franchise quarterback, gets steadily better every week, and he stays healthy. That's the best case. Like, we're acting like Shedeur Sanders is, you know, that this is a play with two superstars, two co-stars. I'm sorry, one person gets to play the quarterback position. So the goal is for Dylan Gabriel to show that he's a franchise quarterback. I know there's a lot of people out there clamoring for Shedeur Sanders and that are excited for Shedeur Sanders. I'd be intrigued to watch him too. But if he's the third stringer on this football team, on this team, who needs all the help they can get at quarterback, just how good is he really? And secondly, he has done nothing to help himself as a professional. The miming last week with the media, the speeding tickets, the sly remarks, the social media stuff, none of that stuff helps a professional. That's not a slight against Shedeur. It's a slight against anybody who plays the game for a living, this game for a living at a high, high level.
John, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll see what we talk about next week, but it'll probably be more of the same. But I will tell you, cannot wait for that burger. Just really, really excited for that burger.
Didn't you guys put like a $100 limit or something on it? Like you go up to $100? Wasn't that what I heard?
I believe so. So I'm looking forward to a $99 burger.
Yeah, no. Now you're adding things into the bet.
Was that wrong?
When did I do that?
I thought it was like a burger with a side of steak.
A double steak burger.
Just as a side, you know. Yeah. Just, I mean, it's whatever comes with the burger comes with the burger, John.
Listen, JP's not eating a burger here, so he's got no reason to watch.
All we know is Nick didn't watch me on NBC this weekend, okay?
You know what? Good point, Nick. We'll go out for the burger, and JP can watch a De Niro movie. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, John. We're going to the golf course. Me and you are going to go to the golf course, okay?
No, I don't like that. I like it when I'm getting fed by John, and then nobody else is happy. John Fanta, NBC Sports, on the Fan Hotline. When we come back, we'll react to what he had to say. And getting into the path forward with Dylan Gabriel on 92.3 The Fan.
It's wild, though, how it was so obvious that this was the route that everyone was going to go based off of you can't lose as many games as he has and how hard the schedule was going to be in the beginning of the season. It was always going to turn this way. The idea that people could have been so hell-bent on Stefanski being great at his job to then 5 games later, Nick. This isn't 25 games later. This is 5 games later. The same people that told you how great he was are...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Now, like, you're right. We probably need a new scenery, probably need a change.
You know the difference for me, though, is because I noticed a turn. And the first time we really saw Stefanski get called to the carpet this year was the Baltimore loss. And I understood that one because you got blown out, and there was the weight of the Baltimore 30-year celebration, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But from that game, it was like two bad Joe Flacco picks. It was this, it was that. And I do think Kevin started having Joe go slow at the end of that game to try and slow down the Ravens from turning it. He even tried to avoid the blowout.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't his fault, though. That game, if you look how that went, that was players losing that game. That is not what happened on Sunday. And that's the difference for me. After that Baltimore game, I'm like, guys, I'm already out on Stefanski, or mostly out on Kevin Stefanski, but why this game? I'm not asking myself that anymore after this game. Like, I think this is if this was the game that flipped the switch for you and is a beginning of the end for you with Kevin Stefanski, that makes an incredible amount of sense, because it's not even about his bad clock management. It also goes to Jim Schwartz, his defensive head coach, choosing the cover six at the end of the game when you have one of the best man corner. No, you have the best man corner in football in Denzel Ward.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just and that's something obviously we got to address with Schwartz. But like
but Kevin takes the fall for that. That's your defensive coordinator.
I'm not saying he doesn't. That's a whole grouping thing. But that when you hire Jim Schwartz, you know that that's how Jim Schwartz likes to play defense and how he likes to call defense. It's been a mind blowing thing for a couple years now. The fact that when you have the very best wide receivers, for instance, he's like, nope, we're in zone, we're not doing that. But that's either here nor there. The point is that the amount of I'm surprised at how quick this has turned for everyone, because I thought the most staunch Stefanski supporters would be in there for I mean at least until the bye week, but it was very predictable. You knew this was going to be hard and you knew it was going to be tough. I'm just surprised that people are turning the way that they're turning based off of the reaction we took in the summer.
Yeah, and I it's interesting that you're saying that now that you're saying it. What's interesting to me is how early it's happening. I think that's a great point by you, because to me, the whole point of Stefanski, he has the rubber stamp to keep his job long term. That was always about, well, can you keep the players engaged till late in the season, right? Can you? Mm-hmm. All right, every team that is losing, at some point, players check out. You can have Vince Lombardi in his prime. If you're going 4-13, at some point, even if it's week 18, they're checking out. So for me, it was always about, okay, what does it look like? This goes back to the idea of you can be bad, but you don't have to be a dumpster fire. Just Dylan Gabriel starting. No, you're just bad, right? Until proven otherwise, you're just bad. Shador starting. You're just bad. Starting Deshaun Watson, dumpster fire. Fans turning. And again, if fans are feeling this way, you can bet your sweet bippy players after Sunday were feeling this way. Players turning on you this early, that is when this gets to dumpster fire. And here's the problem. You were a dumpster fire last year. The final 5 weeks of that season was so, post the Pittsburgh game, was so unbelievably bad on so many fronts. And you could tell dudes were checked out. Now we're week five and we're doing that? Going
already.
On week six? That's where it gets scary, just in terms of it, just Kevin Stefanski keeping these guys where we can develop the young players. Because you have to be competitive to develop young players. If it's a dumpster fire and you're not competitive in any of these games, that's where it's hard to figure out. Like, okay, how do you make Isaiah Bond better in a completely losing dumpster fire environment?
Yeah, and I think so. Once after you get to the Steelers game, it's going to open up a little bit. I mentioned how there's six teams in the AFC that have one win or fewer. The Browns are one of them. The other five teams and that are in the AFC, the Browns play. They're on the schedule for the rest of the season. You're going to have a stretch where two times in 3 weeks you play the Dolphins into the Patriots, actually, and the Dolphins and the Jets, though. Like, they're going to have opportunities, and it's in those opportunities that Stefanski's got to pull out some wins. He's got to be able to find some sense of, even if we're being close with the hard teams but not pulling it off, we can take care of the easy teams. He's got to at least do that. That's got to be the bare minimum now moving forward.
Can we just say the most competitive 4-13 team in football is still right there? There for the taking, and I actually think that's where Dylan Gabriel comes in.
I think that's why people are actually upset, is because it was competitive in a stretch where you should have gotten taken to the cleaners, in a stretch where Frank Schwab, when we had him on before the season, called this the hardest first six games of a season for any team in 20 years of covering football, and they legit could be 3-2 right now.
Well,
that's why people are mad.
And you just have to survive six games, right? You got to still, these guys have to believe they can still win by the time you get to week seven. And I'm not saying that it's definitively not going to happen, but I'm saying that is now in danger. And in a weird way, I know I do take objection or put objection up there when people say a week is a must win, because it's the NFL. There's 17 games.
There's not enough games. You got to win every game.
Every game is a must win game.
Yeah.
In terms of the nuance of what you and I are talking about, Pittsburgh, a game where you're coming off London, that is incredibly hard to readapt, coming back off London. And you're getting Pittsburgh off a bye, and you're still starting a rookie quarterback. Like, this is a really, really important game to make it look good and or just win the damn thing.
Yeah, and if you can pull off a game against the Steelers, again, you got the Dolphins after that, and there's some winnable games that are here. If you can beat the Steelers, you start to build some confidence, and maybe you do showcase that you're a much more competitive team. It's not written in the stars. That's what makes this so crazy or so fun to me, is the idea that this early on, these Stefanski detractors have already... Or just Stefanski supporters have already flipped to being detractors, and they have written it.
I mean, there are still Watson supporters. I would imagine there's still Stefanski supporters out there.
No, there's got to be. There's got to. But what do you think that number is right now if we did like an approval rating of Stefanski in the city?
12.
12?
In the city. I didn't talk about the burbs. I know, that's a D response. Okay. The D response.
This is like, what's Tua's record in cold weather in 32 degrees?
By the way, that's different.
I don't know, Nick.
The difference between 45 degrees and 32 degrees.
Yeah.
I'm talking freezing temperatures. Not 45 degrees in Cleveland? That's a walk in a park.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice. 45.
Give me 45 degrees in January and I'm a very happy man.
And 45 sounds miserable. Broken at like...
Well, yeah, now.
Yeah, it sounds very miserable.
Yeah, but once you get to 32, you're like, man, I get a tropical 45.
It's miserable, miserable for Tua as well. Might be miserable for Dylan Gabriel. We don't know.
Timu Tua. Albert Breer coming up at 5:20, but the lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.